Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, besom, for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, The Tablet of Siloam, by Erwin Gonshack, is one in a series of Eternal Light dramas based on great archaeological finds of modern times. It is based on Voices from the Past, by Dr. Azriel Eisenberg.
The proudest day of my life happened in this month of June and in this year of 1880. My name is Ahmed, and I am an Arab boy living in Jerusalem. I am almost 14 years old. I speak so proudly of this day because what I did was not done before, even by trained men. So my teacher tells me. The day began like this. It was hot, and my friend Shamar and I were thinking of going swimming before we went to school. But you should know that there are no beaches or swimming pools in Jerusalem. So where could we go? South of the temple area of the Israelites is the mysterious and ancient pool of Siloam.
Ahmed, you are the older, and you are the leader. So you should go in the water first.
Shamar, the water is green and slimy, and it smells bad.
But the water is cool. Feel it.
Still, look how many rocks there are in the pool. They come from the wall, where it is loose and old. If we go swimming, a rock can hit us on the head.
Ahmed, are you afraid?
I am not.
It seems to me that you are afraid.
Me afraid? Do you see that tunnel at the end of the pool?
Certainly I see it, Ahmed.
To show you how wrong you are in calling me afraid, now I shall dive into the water and explore that very cave.
I have heard there are tigers and lions in there, and also the ghosts of those who built it many years ago.
That's nonsense.
I don't see you moving, Ahmed.
It's late for school.
Yes, that is how I thought it would be.
Did you? You teller of false tales. Here, watch me.
The tigers and lions! Ahmed, the ghost!
I had often wondered what it was like in the tunnel, but I had never gone in it. Now I knew I would have to settle the mystery once and for all. Slowly and cautiously, I walked into the tunnel, one step at a time. Only a little light came in from the outside. I pressed my hands against each wall so that I wouldn't slip and fall into the water. And from the mouth of the tunnel, I heard Shamar calling to me.
Ahmed, kill the tigers and lions!
Be quiet! There's nothing here but water and dirt, and it smells awful.
Take care for the ghosts!
Ghosts do not live in tunnels, I laughed to myself. But still, I kept a sharp eye out for whatever there might be. I splashed along through the water for about 20 feet when... Ow! Nothing. I slipped. But something had happened. Just before I had lost my balance, I had touched a stone on the wall which felt different from the others. I got up from the floor and ran my fingers over the rough surface and tried to see in the dim light.
Ahmed, have you seen something?
Come in and see for yourself if you're so curious.
No, I think it's best if I stay gone out here.
Now who is the one who is afraid, I thought. And then I turned back to the strange stone on the wall. There was some kind of carving on it. Was it some kind of funny writing? Was Shamar right? Were there really ghosts in that cave? But I did not stay any longer to think about this, and quickly made my way out of the tunnel and out into the pool.
Ahmed! Ahmed, quickly tell me, what did you find?
Oh, nothing.
No wild animals?
Just some carvings on a stone, that's all.
You see? The ghosts have left a message.
right, boys, that will end the lesson for today. Ahmed, could you please stay a moment?
Yes, Dr. Sheck. Is there something wrong?
No, Ahmed. I was speaking to Shamar today. He said you were exploring the tunnel at the Siloam Pool. Is that right?
Yes, but I came to school on time.
I know. Shamar said you found something in there.
If he said there were ghosts, he's wrong. And even if there are ghosts, I'm not afraid.
Ahmed, I'm not concerned with ghosts. Was there something else?
Just a stone with carvings, but nothing else.
What kind of carvings?
It felt like writing. Or maybe it's just old scratches or something.
You know, that tunnel has been searched by archaeologists before. In 1838, an American, Edward Robinson, went about a third of a mile into it, sometimes just dragging himself along on all fours. And let's see, in 1867, a Britisher, Captain Charles Warren, did the same. 4 hours in the water, wet and dirty, holding a pencil, compass, and field book in his hands with a candle in his mouth.
A candle in his mouth?
Oh, yes. I've read all about it. Archaeological research in the Holy Land is my hobby. But you know, Ahmed, neither of them spoke about any such stone in the tunnel.
I saw it, Dr. Sheck, and felt it with my own hands.
Take me there, Ahmed. The Pool of Siloam is very ancient, and the carvings may have an historical value. Oh, the smell is awful in here. But lead on, Ahmed. Lead on.
We must walk about 20 steps. And there.
Now, let me light the candle. Now, let's see.
What do you think, Dr. Sheck?
Oh, Ahmed, it looks to me as if you may have made an important discovery. But before we can find out, we'll have to get rid of the water which covers some of the stone.
How will you do that?
I'll get workmen to make a dam and then drain off the water. Yes, that's just what needs to be done.
That's a lot of work. And perhaps the stone is nothing after all.
Who knows? But we shall find out. And you can tell Shamar that I am sure of one thing. The marks on this stone do not represent the work of a ghost.
So, Dr. Schick got the help of the German Palestine Society and had the tunnel drained so that there was only mud and a little water on its floor. Then he spent many hours studying the old stone, and I remained at his side, anxious to know what I had found.
Ahmed, the air in this tunnel is becoming unbearable. Simply unbearable.
Yes, and still you don't know what the scratchings are, do you, Dr. Schick?
No. Unfortunately, I'm not an archaeologist or a student of ancient languages. I believe it is 6 lines of some ancient script, but I must admit that I don't know what the inscription says.
But you will find out, won't you, Dr. Sheck?
Yes. I shall write to England. There I know a professor, A.H. Sace, a great biblical scholar, Ahmed, a giant among scholars. I shall ask him to come to Jerusalem, to this very tunnel, to examine this carving, the Tablet of Siloam.
I see, Sheik, you're right about the odor in here.
But now, Professor says that you are here, maybe we can quickly unravel the puzzle of the tablet.
Yes, I see what you mean. Well, shall we proceed? Ahmed, you have the hydrochloric acid diluted?
Yes, Professor Sace. Right here in the equipment bag.
Fine, young man, fine. Just a little of it on the rag. A most powerful liquid. Burn right through your skin. So careful, young man. Careful.
I will be very careful, Professor Sace. Of that you can be sure.
Now we must clean the stone with the acid until the entire tablet is clearly revealed. A nice stroke, Sheik. With a little circular motion. Just a few more strokes, Ahmed. And I think we have it. Yes. I think that will do.
I can't wait to get out of this foul den. But it is done for man's knowledge, Ahmed. For man's never-ending quest to know.
Yes, Dr. Sheck.
Uh-huh. Now for the next step, gentlemen. The wax squeeze. Come, Ahmed. Out with the wax.
Yes, Professor Sace. It's right here in the equipment bag.
Fine. Now, melt it over the torch, Sheck.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Good.
Ooh, that's hot.
Remember, Dr. Sheck, it's done for man's knowledge.
Yes, Ahmed.
Now, lay it on evenly, Sheck. Easy does it, easy does it. Splendid. Now, all we have to do is wait for it to harden. Gentlemen, it is ready.
Good, good.
But now we can't see it at all.
But we will, Ahmed. We most certainly will. All right, Sheck. You may pull the wax away. Carefully, Sheik, carefully. You see, Ahmed, we now have an exact impression of the writing in reverse. Now, as soon as we return to Dr. Sheik's study, we will transfer the wax impression to plaster, and the words will be right side up again.
So, like magic, the words appeared again on the plaster. And Professor Sace, with the help of other scholars in Jerusalem, puzzled many days over what the inscription meant. I, of course, spent much time listening to the professors. But it was all very difficult to understand. Such words as cubits and quarrymen, Hezekiah and Sennacherib. And sometimes I would doze a little. Still, I would come back again and again and listen. For wasn't it the tablet that I had found that everyone was so interested in? Then one day, Professor Sace made an exciting announcement.
Gentlemen, you should both be very proud of what you have done.
Thank you, Professor Sace.
So it is something important that I have found?
Important, young man. Astounding, I would say.
Marvelous.
That's wonderful.
Now, let me explain why I say this. Jerusalem should be an archaeologist's dream. This is the site of an ancient city, vital to our civilization's history. And there are many literary documents relating to the city. But, unfortunately, an almost continuous occupation of the site by eager settlers after each destruction and the present inhabitation of the city make it almost impossible for us to dig where we would like to dig. So you can see how invaluable the Siloam Tunnel is for our purposes.
Oh, yes, Professor Sace, I think.
Secondly,
after, other than scattered ostraca, that is, broken pieces of pottery with a word or two on them, there is in existence no ancient Hebrew outside of the Bible, which is only known from manuscripts written hundreds of years after the events described. That is, we had no such ancient Hebrew until...
Yes, until...
Until, Professor Sace?
Gentlemen, until today.
Oh.
Marvelous.
We're convinced that the inscription is written in elegant classical Hebrew, and that it is a trustworthy link between archaeological discovery in Palestine and history recorded in the Old Testament.
Professor, how far back do you believe it goes?
Well, we believe it was written in the time of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and the prophet Isaiah, about 700 BCE, or 2,600 years ago.
2,600?
But who has written it? And what do they say? And why did they write in a tunnel?
Well, even though the top part of the tablet doesn't remain, there is enough of it left so we can piece together the story as it may have happened. Let us, Ahmed, go back in time hundreds and hundreds of years when, as the Bible tells us, the mighty empire of Assyria, having already overrun the kingdom of Israel in northern Palestine, was threatening to attack Jerusalem, capital of Judah, where King Hezekiah lived in his palace.
Why should the king call such humble people as ourselves to a private audience with him?
We'll soon know, Yosef.
Strange, Joab. When I look about, all I see are stonecutters.
Please, be seated. I have called you together for a very special reason. Sennacherib, the Assyrian king, is now consolidating his gains in the east. That he will attack us in Jerusalem is beyond question. And you all know of the monstrous cruelty of our enemy. But we still believe there is time for us to prepare a defense. We intend to use all our energies to fortify our beloved city of David. The walls are being rebuilt. Sufficient supplies of weapons and shields are being obtained. Food is being stored. But still, one significant item is required. Water. And that is where you come in.
Joab, are we to be water carriers?
Yosef, the king speaks again.
When the enemy troops come to sack our city, why should we let the springs of water outside our walls be used by them? They are being sealed now, so the Assyrian warriors shall not find them. But there still remains the question of supplying our own people with water. In the valley of Kidron is the spring of Gihon. We propose to build a conduit through the limestone rock and bring the water into our city.
King Hezekiah, it is over half a mile.
King Hezekiah, the rock is solid. Solid through and through.
Yes, yes, I know. Perhaps I am asking you to do the impossible. But now in your hands rests the fate of the city.
How many days has it been?
185 days.
Cannot go on another day.
Yosef, the king is a good man.
Yes, I know. The king is a good man.
He has instituted reforms in the city, taking care of the widowed and poor, cleansed the temple of pagan worship.
All right, Joab, I know all this. All power to the king. But I'm sick and tired of chopping rock in this foul tunnel day after day. Let the good king chop his own tunnel.
But this is not only for the king. It's for the people as well.
Then let the people chop too.
But we are the stonecutters.
Oh, you don't have to tell me that.
I'm sorry if you're feeling bad. I don't feel too well myself. Here, let me use the axe a while.
Oh, no, it is not time yet. I'll continue. Complaining is good for the soul. I feel better now. Joab.
Yes, Yosef?
I cannot go on another day.
I know, Yosef.
There is no air in here. I cannot breathe. I can't see. Where are we going? And don't tell me how good the king is.
But the prophet Isaiah is proclaiming favorable tidings. Assyria will shake its fist at Jerusalem, he says. But God will halt Sennacherib in his plan to destroy the city.
Isaiah said this?
He did. It was reported today.
Did he say anything about this confounded tunnel we're building?
That was not reported. But if the city is saved, then of course the tunnel will have been a success. The supply of water will have been secured. The siege will have been withstood.
Enough! Enough of your daydreams!
Joseph, these are not daydreams. Isaiah says they are the words of the Lord.
Oh, I'm sorry, Joab. Oh, my head spins. Do you think the Lord can see us through rock and dirt and sweat?
Of course, Yosef.
Well, I pray that he does. Give me my pick again.
Yes, Yosef.
My last day.
Yes, Yosef.
Did you hear me? I said this is my last day.
I heard you. I'm too weary to argue anymore.
Oh, for 200 days we have been digging from the north. For 200 days the other stonecutters have been digging from the south. Is that not right, Joab?
That is right, Yosef.
How do we know that we will meet?
The king's engineers.
Oh, the king's engineers. And the king and Isaiah. Everyone knows all about the tunnel, but we keep digging it. And for all we know, we may end up in Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrians.
Hush.
I will not be hushed. I am the one who was chopping, and therefore
hush, Yosef.
What?
I hear something.
Oh, Oh, you see what is happening now? Voices you're hearing. Soon you will start raving, and then...
No. No, it's not a voice. I hear a pick.
Sure, my pick. You hear my pick.
No, no, listen. Listen. I believe we're nearing the other workers.
Joab, do you think so?
Chop yourself. Chop! Yosef, a little to the left.
Before you told me a little to the right.
Now I tell you to the left.
Make up your mind. If we miss them now, we're finished.
Chop, Yosef, chop.
I am chopping.
Stop.
Stop, go. Left, right. I'm going mad.
Now you can stop. I hear voices.
What?
Saul. Aaron. It's over here. A few more feet.
Come.
5 more feet. those voices, Yosef. As sweet as angels,
yes.
There, Yosef, the entrance to the tunnel. And may it be the last time we have to walk through it. Come, let us go home and go to sleep.
No, Joab. A moment more. We've spent so many months in this blasted tunnel, we can spend a moment more.
At the entrance? But why?
I'm looking for a proper stone on the wall. A large one, which can easily be smoothed.
Yosef, go home. Have a good rest. Eat a good meal. Excitement.
I found it.
What?
The right stone. Now, I shall tell the good King Hezekiah to tell his good scribe, whatever his name is, to inscribe on this plaque the story of the building of this tunnel. Why should it only be kings, and priests, and noblemen who receive all the honors, huh? Let the story be told of simple stonecutters who built an impossible tunnel to save the city of David. Why not, Joab?
Why not, Yosef?
And Ahmed, Jerusalem was saved. The Assyrians did move their armies against Jerusalem, but for some unexplained reason, they were forced to retreat. Some say it was the plague, or field mice had eaten away the leather and cloth of the Assyrian weapons. But be that as it may, the city was saved, and largely through the efforts of these stonecutters, who gave the populace the needed water to hold out during the siege.
And the tablet tells of the building of the tunnel?
A complete running description. You should be proud, young man, of what you have discovered.
As proud as the stonecutters who built the tunnel. A remarkable feat, done only with primitive tools.
Yes, archaeology, young man, is full of unusual discoveries. But this is among the greatest and most amazing of all. Now, if you'll excuse me, I must arrange for a donkey back to the coast and a boat to London. Biblical exegetes throughout the world must learn of this discovery as soon as possible.
And Professor Sayce, don't forget, stonecutters, they should also learn of this feat. So now you can understand why I, Ahmed, an Arab boy living in Jerusalem, should say that the proudest day of my life happened in June of this year, 1880, when I discovered the Tablet of Siloam. This find, which is now in a museum in Istanbul, interests students of the Bible everywhere. And perhaps it will also remind everyone to remember the unknown craftsmen, such as the quarrymen in the Tunnel of Stone, who worked so hard building great projects to benefit whole cities, the whole world.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Dr. Azriel Eisenberg, Executive Vice President, the Jewish Education Committee of New York, and well-known author, Dr. Eisenberg.
Other than the fact that the modern Hebrew alphabet is square, while the ancient was round and cursive, Basically, the language has not changed since the Siloam inscription. Hebrew used in Tel Aviv today is substantially the same as King Hezekiah used in ordering his workers to build the Siloam Tunnel. The language in which the prophet Isaiah exhorted his people to be courageous and strong in the face of the impending destruction of Jerusalem by Sennacherib is the same we read in the headlines of the Israeli press. Of course, modern Hebrew has been infused with new words and new expressions to meet the needs of the new state of Israel as it has taken its place in the society of nations. Indeed, a mystic tie has always been manifest between the land of Israel, the language, and the alphabet of Israel. Ancient Hebrew was born when the tribes of Israel settled in the promised land and were united into one people. Square Hebrew, which is the Hebrew of today, was adopted by Ezra the scribe in the 5th century before the Common Era, at a decisive moment in Jewish history when the people were threatened with extinction. It helped revive and unify them and make them again a creative and great people. Now that the Jewish people has experienced its third rebirth in Israel land, a new revival is evident. The characters of the alphabet are acquiring a new individuality and beauty that are pleasing to the eye. Far-reaching and learned proposals are being advanced to improve the alphabet. But over and above all, it is gratifying to note the growing interest in the study of Hebrew. Today, as never before, Jews of all ages are devoting themselves regularly to the study of Hebrew, and thousands in this land have actually made it their second language, thereby linking them to their past, uniting them with their brethren in the present, and ensuring our people a meaningful future.
Thank you, Dr. Eisenberg. Our eternal light drama today, The Tablet of Siloam, written by Erwin Gonchak, was one in the series of programs dealing with great archaeological finds. It was based on Voices from the Past by Dr. Azrael Eisenberg, published by Abelard Schumann Limited. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were John Borden, Sam Gray, Alfred Shirley, James Dukas, Jim Bowles, and Bernard Lenroe. Peter Laser played Ahmed. This is Vic Roby. Our program was directed by Daniel Sutter. Portions of this program were pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC Radio Network.